say I'm doing great all the time. It's like, you're not looking great. You're ugly. You don't make any money.
Wow, baby, this is good.
And I was like, yes!
You're the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm just darkness.
You are the tunnel.
The look he gave me, he was so disgusted.
We don't go, hey, we won the national title. Good job. Now everybody get your ass back to class. Did I just out myself for having some sort of condition down there?
Some sort of glandular condition. We're just talking.
I like you, but, you know, not that.
You're not in like with me.
I have a girlfriend, man. I'm sorry.
You're not a side scroller.
No.
You're not a...
I'm not a midnight golfer. Cheers.
Cheers, my friend.
We're back.
What's more into the breach, dear friend?
Mm-hmm.
As H.P. Lovecraft would say.
But yeah, welcome to Booze and Basketball.
The best of both worlds.
Make sure to check out boozeandbasketball.com.
For all your booze and basketball needs.
And be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. I was about to say iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Spotify. We're not on Spotify, but look for us anyway. We'd be honored.
Or wherever podcasts
are found.
Indeed.
Yes. And don't forget, we are for the people.
By the people.
Of the people. Yes.
And, with people.
And I am your friendly neighborhood Los, a.k.a. Stephen Ivory Canes.
I feel like those are two very different people.
Oh,
Ivory Canes, he's very well read. He's book smart. He wears suits. Mm-hmm. He has reading glasses constantly on. He's probably ball headed.
Yes.
And he's a very astute learner, very well educated. He's got a very good voice. And your friendly neighborhood Los is, you know,
he's a drifter.
Yeah.
Always wears t-shirts, are stained.
He wears a jacket that's two sizes too big. It just dwarfs him.
Always has a bottle in his hand.
Stephen Ivory Canes would not like your friendly neighborhood Los.
They don't get along, though they rub elbows quite often. So.
But you know who doesn't get along with either of them?
Who is that?
Jack Basketball.
Oh, no. Self-proclaimed.
He doesn't like anybody.
One would argue people don't like him.
That's fine. How dare you? I'm leaving.
No, so what do we have today? What's going on? What's going on in the world?
Oh, well, here's what we're doing. We're going to offend some people because we're not actually going to talk about basketball.
Yeah.
Nor are we going to talk about the fact that, you know, Team USA is not doing too well.
No.
That they keep winning games by like 3 points.
We could call this the basketball minute. So, yeah, I don't like what Team USA is doing right now. I don't think they know what they're doing. Playing pick a ball, no defense.
You know who I blame?
Who? Coach K?
Kevin Durant. And I like Kevin Durant.
Always comes down
I'm
to
such
Kevin
a fan
Durant.
Of his.
No, you're not.
And I just, it's supposed to be his team. And, you know, the same problems that I've had with this guy for years now is that when he has the opportunity to make something his team, he fails. Mm. He falls apart. He loses it. Which is why he's never going to be the guy.
Do you think this is an omen for
and
what's to come?
Yes. That's why, I'm going to go, no, Kevin Durant's going to be the number one. No, he's not. He's not a number one guy. He's a number two guy, Los. Mm. Some guy who says, I might be the second best player in basketball, tries to defer to somebody else. Like, Russell Westbrook was the best player on that team. For a guy who's the second best player in the world, he plays number two a lot. I'm sure he takes a lot of number twos. He smells like a number two.
Wow.
That's what I think of him.
Let's respect that man. Come on. Speak some respect to his name.
I got a lot of... I like him. I'm a fan of his.
No, you're not.
And then he goes and does this. And then he goes and gets outshone by people like Kyle Lowry, who's been lousy, but he had a game there.
That's what they should call him. Kyle Lousy. That's how I feel about him.
Pau Gasol's turned back the clock 10 years. He's putting up numbers. Yijin Lian looks like he needs to be in the league. Yijin Lian's looking like he should be paid what Kevin Durant's getting paid right now.
Nicolas Batum looking good.
Hey, he's been France. All right. He's been off and on.
Yeah.
But Eugene Leon's been bringing it, Los. And I've always liked him. I like that young man.
Shout out to Kobe's Kobe Bryant's cousin who plays with Venezuela.
Eugene Leon? Oh. No. Who's that? You're just going to leave it at that?
Yeah. Look him up.
Why would you leave a shout out to somebody who's a scrub?
His name is John Cox.
Oh, I know him. Yeah. He didn't do well.
Yeah. But he plays for Venezuela.
Clearly that, you know, he must not be cousin by blood. Must be like by marriage.
He shoots like him. He had a performance shot 6 for 20. 20 points.
Oh, man, that's just like Kobe right there. Except for that last game.
Baby Kobe.
Anyway, those. We're drinking beer.
Yes, we are.
So here's the plan for today. We already had our basketball minute. Mm-hmm. I got some stuff off my chest about some guy.
I need to create a basketball segment for the basketball minute.
Okay, we'll have a soundtrack and stuff.
Oh, this is the basketball minute by Booze and Basketball. Brought to you by Booze and Basketball.
And Oscar Mayer Wieners. Feel the brat.
And Pep Boys, cars like us, people love us.
Do everything for less. Is that them?
No. I don't know who that is.
Oops.
But those were our proud sponsors for the Basketball Minute, so thanks for tuning in. Catch you next week.
Sponsors would love us.
Yeah.
I'm going to sue Oscar Mayer. And we mentioned you on our podcast. You owe us $50,000. They're like, I don't remember making that deal. You did, but we mentioned your name. You owe us money, sir.
They'll probably write the check. Okay, so that's some homework.
That's it?
Yeah. Hey, a light bulb just went off.
If you listen to Booze and Basketball and could be a member of our legal team, send us an email at...
info@boozeandbasketball.com.
Do you check that frequently?
I do.
Enough?
I get alerts for it.
Do you get anything?
From Podomatic.
Not really? Hey, give us some more money to keep your site up.
Yeah, so they're the ones who alerted me of our 2-year anniversary.
Well done.
Podomatic is our host, guys. So Booze and Basketball, and I say basketball because that's how the URL is set. We forgot to put the T in basketball. So it's Booze and Basketball.
No.
At podomatic.com.
Whose fault is that?
That's yours, buddy.
What did I do?
You created it.
So if somebody wants to go to us, they have to go to Booze and Basketball?
Booze and
Basketball. Get out of here.
Booze and Basketball.podomatic.com.
Why are you telling me this after 2 years, Los? You mean for the last 2 years I didn't notice?
I've searched and scratched for how to change it, and I have not been able to change the URL.
You are the biggest turd in history. You're worse than Bono. You're worse than Benedict Arnold.
You are witnessing a true on-air meltdown right now.
From who?
From
one of us?
Jack Basketball.
It's been Booze and Basketball for 2 years with no tea. And this guy's just telling me now. I hate you.
This is so funny.
I have not seen Los for weeks. I thought he was dead. And then he sent me a text going, are you dead? I'm like, man, I'm over here living. Where have you been? He went dark. I usually follow, you know, like I'm friends with his girlfriend on Instagram. He wasn't in any of her posts. Like, she was living life. I'm like, where's this guy at?
I apologize for being hermetic for the past few weeks. But anyway. So.
I was holding auditions to get rid of you. But nobody came because they tried to find it by Booze and Basketball. And apparently that's not it. Asshole.
Okay, so yeah, we're back, guys. So you recently read a book.
Yes, but before we get there, it's in the title, so you know.
Oh,
okay. I mean, in the future, I haven't named it yet, but I that's assume I'm there. Gonna put we're it in the title. Yet. Hey, it's called Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Yeah,
we're gonna give it a review. But in the meantime, can you tell us about the beer we have?
Yes.
Or did you look it up on Right Beer?
I did not look it up, but I have it right here. Man, this is. Guy,
man. I've had it with him. Ladies and gentlemen.
Remember, I've been gone for a few weeks. So, we are drinking White Rascal, which is a Belgian-style white ale by Avery Brewing of Boulder, Colorado.
That's your home right there.
Yeah, not too far. Not too far. 30
Boulder.
40. Boulder. 34 miles or so. But yeah, so it's a truly authentic Belgian-style white ale. This rascal is unfiltered. Yep, that's yeast on the bottom. Okay, that was in parentheses. And cleverly spiced with coriander, cacao, orange peel, producing a refreshingly zesty classic ale. For maximum flavor, slowly pour into a glass, leaving a small amount in the bottle. Swirl the remainder in the yeast to top off your brew.
How about ratebeer.com?
It probably says the same thing. You know, I've been having beef with ratebeer.com.
So look it up.
I will look it up.
5.6% alcohol.
By volume.
And so far, I got to be honest.
Yeah.
It's delicious. Mm-hmm. The orange peel and the coriander, baby. I somewhat am a bit of a white rascal of sorts.
That's your nickname.
I'm the white rascal, baby. Some days I'm a man of color, but, you know, today I'm the white rascal. You know how many times I've been called that in my life?
Two.
A million. That white rascal. Sometimes it's a white rapscallion, but, you know. Belgian-style white ale. Man, real delicious. I don't know what makes it a white ale, but I don't care. That coriander, that orange peel, they go together like peas and carrots.
Peas and carrots, mm-hmm. Which go together well, I must say.
So
the same thing on ratebeer.com is what I read, the description.
About how to drink it?
Yeah, also that as well.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's part of their commercial description.
That's stupid.
Yeah, tell that to Avery Brewing Company.
You know who doesn't do that?
Who?
Who's that company with clown shoes?
Clown shoes.
Is that the one where they do? Where's the one with the werewolf and stuff like that? Remember that where they had the thing with Frankenstein and
the story.
Yeah, that's the whole story on there. They do that. They go into deep detail and stuff, talking about white werewolf attorneys and things like that, and Frankenstein, some dude with a blade who's taking people hostage and stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What about that old man on that cover from one of our first episodes?
Oh, you love that guy.
What was that?
Bia Moretti.
That wasn't Bia Moretti.
Oh, Stockyard?
Stockyard. Oh. Bia Moretti was good. I like Bia Moretti. That was an old man. That wasn't an old man. That was a middle-aged man.
But since you ask about Belgian ale, let me tell you something.
I was talking about white ale.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Belgian style ale seldom fit neatly into classic beer styles, but this category represents those ales under approximately 7% alcohol by volume that do not fit other categories. Color ranges from golden to deep amber, with the occasional example coming in darker. Body tends to be light to medium, with a wide range of hop and malt levels. Yeastiness and acidity may also be present, and I must emphasize that last part because that's what makes the beers lighter, the amount of yeast that's put into that, which, as judging from their commercial description, has quite a bit in it.
Oh man, we gotta get Trent Bruce in here to
and he'd tell us a whole backstory about Belgians and how they love beer.
He gets real self-conscious. He's like, I'm being a bit of a beer nerd. And I'm like, no,
we love it. We embrace it. That's Trent. Give us more, please.
Do you know he's becoming somewhat of a star? He got on this this YouTube show that The Rock runs.
Oh, really?
It's called Rock the Mic.
Mm.
And I heavily titled. If you want to see what Trent Bruce looks and sounds like, well, you already know what he sounds like. Go check out Rock the Mic. His nickname was Bruce the Brewer. He's entered into this contest where he's got to give, like, wrestling-style promos, and whoever wins. So he won his first match against some guy called the Social Media Guru, or Dr. Social Media. I think his name was Dr. Social Media. And this guy, you know, a promo is like an interview.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to come in on Saturday. I'm going to beat your ass real good, Los. And people are like, oh, man, that sounded real good, Jack Basketball. So his gimmick is Bruce the Brewer, and he came out of the brewery, and he threw, like, his kegs down. He was in his brewer's costume, started like taking his clothes off, started screaming. He was dancing around the kegs, and man, his whole shtick was that he's a brewer, and man, it was great. And so this wrestling legend named Kurt Angle, I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah,
he was the judge, and he was like, man, he really made me laugh. He was real funny, so I got to give this round to Bruce the Brewer.
Wow.
So rock the mic.
Rock the mic.
Yeah,
check it out, guys.
It's
on
the
YouTube.
Rocks podcast. It was the first episode.
Featuring our guy, Trent Bruce.
Trent Bruce, and he's at Angel City Brewery.
With his monthly comedy show.
Oh, Off the Ropes Comedy.
Yeah.
I'm going to that, too. If you want to meet, probably Los and I, they have this comedy show at Angel City Brewery called the... Off the Ropes Comedy.
Off the Ropes.
I just said it.
Yeah.
Gee, I hate you. He looked at me like he wanted to say it and threw me off.
I said, rock the mic.
So I think it's the third Thursday.
Fourth Thursday of every month at Angel City Brewery.
It's on Facebook. Check out the event.
Yeah.
Just check out. There's going to be some real funny dudes there.
It's a free event.
You can come meet me. You can buy me a beer.
Mm-hmm. You could buy both of us.
Or you could shoot me. Now you could do that too.
Call it.
I don't know why you would. Please don't.
Call it a meet and greet. And it's a fun, you could take like a...
You could buy me a beer and then shoot me.
Oh, I'd like that sequence.
But if you do that, you gotta shoot Bubs too, though. You have
Why
to
me?
Shoot. Because I would hate...
I want a beer too.
I would hate for me to get shot and you just go home. That would suck.
That's always how I imagined it to be. I'd watch you get shot and then I'd go home.
And they look at you and go, hey, I enjoy you on the podcast. Los looks like Osama bin Laden. Well, not anymore.
Not
right now.
Like, I'm on my Cuban phase right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
He looks like he can serve you up a Cubano. And I look like a big fat American.
He's right about that one.
With a beard.
Yeah. And growing the long hair.
I guess it would be weird if I'm like, hey, come meet us. And they're like, I don't know what you look like, idiot.
On our about
you
us.
You can hear me laughing.
If you go to boozeandbasketball.com for all your booze and basketball needs, on the about us page, we have a picture of both of us around, taking around the genesis of our.
That was the same day. Yeah.
The mahalo.
I have sweat getting in my eyes, though, so we gotta go home
so
here pretty soon.
Let's get to this.
It's burning my eyes.
So, Harry Potter. Do you have a grade for the beer? That's how these things go.
Thank you. Because, man, so I already said how delicious this beer is.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it an A, man.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm having a great time. It is truly spectacular.
What about it makes it spectacular?
Well, on the cover, it says an ale brewed with spices. Mm-hmm. And I read that and said...
You're a man of spices.
I said, I just love the spices. It tingles my tongue. Mm-hmm. It has that... It reminds me of Wailua Wheat, which recently won the MVP. Excuse me.
Yes.
It won most valuable beer, the MVB. You know... At our award show, which you can find on boozeandbasketball.com.
No, boozeandbasketball.podomatic.com. So, hold on. I also have an update on the white beer sort of.
You're ruining the show, Los.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to have fun. So much talking about people shooting me.
Unfiltered. Unfiltered. That's what makes it wider as well. It has less filter in it. So, anyway. So you like it because of the spices. I kind of like it too. I think it goes down very easy. You could kind of taste the orange peel, which I'm a big fan of.
It is truly a white rascal.
Yeah.
I'm taking this to a party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling people they need to drink it. Yeah. I'm going to be the cool guy at the party.
Yeah.
Oh, who was that guy that brought that white rascal? Yeah. That was a cool beer.
Yeah.
It was Jack Basketball.
And when you're at...
And they'll go, who's Jack Basketball? They go, that guy that got shot a month ago at that...
You
at
read
that
about it,
show,
right?
Remember? Oh, damn, that's a damn shame.
Oh, man. No, so, yeah, I kind of like it because it's unfiltered, goes down easy. You'd be a cool guy if you took it to a party. You want it again because, I mean, you feel... I could get very drunk from this. I'm just going to say that. I could get very drunk from this because I could see myself drinking 6 or 7 of them if this were at said party. So Yeah, I give it a B+. Because I would like a little more, I don't know, a little more weediness, I'd say it could use.
That's fair.
I feel like it leans towards the spices a little too much.
Okay.
Be in A category or That's A fair. Caliber. But B+ for me.
You're a brilliant man.
Stop it. So you don't mean that. So
what?
So you give it a
I give an A.
Okay. So Frank at BevMo, if you still listen to the podcast, go ahead and check out White Rascal by Avery Brewing of Boulder, Colorado.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it's passing great. So, anyway, moving on. Harry Potter.
So I feel bad for the people who are going to listen to this because they saw Harry Potter and they're like, oh, I'll check out this podcast because they don't know how we operate and that it takes us a real long time to get to things.
How far are we? We're half an hour?
So they didn't make it. No, it's 20 minutes. So okay. I apologize to all the people who were like, I'm going to listen to this podcast. When are they going to get to Harry Potter? It's like that episode of The Simpsons when it was Itchy, Scratchy, and Poochie. When it was, they were watching Itchy and Scratchy, and that was when Homer, you know, started becoming the Poochie character. And Poochie comes in, and Itchy and Scratchy are driving to the fireworks factory. They get out. Poochie starts cutting them up with this sick rap, and then Milhouse starts crying. He just goes, "When are they gonna get to the fireworks factory?" That's like people listening to this right now. When are they gonna talk about Harry Potter? So I apologize. So we're getting to that right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Los, I know you don't read.
I do read.
Can you read?
I can.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. No, okay. You read the New York Times. You read the New Yorker. We were just talking about
I love
this.
Magazines. And not the ones with the pictures. The ones with the words.
Count. Yeah. You read books. Books.
I read books.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite book?
My favorite book is The Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Harry Potter fans. Did I ever tell you my Ralph Ellison story?
Oh, really? No.
So there's two Invisible Man books. There's one by, I think, like H.G. Wells.
I think you told
me. And there's one by Ralph Ellison. And so we got this list when I was in, like, 10th grade about, hey, man, you could read all these books. And so The Invisible Man was on there. So I bought it because I was like, oh, I love science fiction. I love stories like that. I used to read those Goosebumps stories where there was like an invisible kid. And so I was like, I'm going to love this.
Yeah.
And so I bought the Ralph Ellison version. And I read the first page.
Man.
And Los, I am in.
Wow.
Because it starts and it's like, this guy's like, I'm an invisible man. I walk down the street. People don't even look at me. And they start telling this story where he's like, I walked up to this white guy and he ignored me. So I beat the fuck out of him. Like, he's like, I picked this dude up. I just started wailing on him. And I was like, hell yeah. I was like, man, I'm into this. And then it starts getting into, like, racial issues. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? And then he's talking about people. I was like, wait, I got confused. So I read the back, like, the back cover. And it's talking about, this is a real good story about race. Like, this dude who feels like he's an invisible man. I go, he feels like he's an invisible man? I thought he was an invisible man. And so I look up the Ralph Ellison. I was like, oh, damn, I got the wrong book.
It's so funny because I think that part is like within the first or second chapter.
I was right away in love. And then I realized it wasn't really an invisible man. And so I put the book down. I got The Invisible Man by H.G. Wells.
Okay, I'm glad you...
It was not as good.
No.
So part of me wanted to go back to the Ralph Ellison and really picture that it was an invisible man.
Yeah. I think you'd appreciate it even now. Or especially now.
Oh, yeah. Real.
In these trying times.
Anyway.
Yes.
So, a new Harry Potter book came out.
Yes.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it. Read the shit out of it, too. It's a four-act. It's a play.
Yes.
And I like plays.
Yeah.
I read the first act in, like, an hour. Mm-hmm. And then sat there, like, a few days later and burned through the other three acts. So, it's a short read.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm somebody who likes to take my time reading, too. So, I mean, you buy this book, you know, you're going to knock it out fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I want to talk about it, because I'm a big Harry Potter nerd from when I was a kid. I grew up at the same time as Harry Potter. Every year, we were kind of always the same age. So I went through a lot of the same issues that he went through. And it just real molded my childhood and stuff. And I just wanted to speak out to the people who don't like to read.
Yeah.
And or even the people who are huge Harry Potter fans. Like, I just wanted to talk about the book and beg you to read it. Like,
yeah.
Man.
Well, because it could be.
It was a damn good read.
It could be off-putting for a lot of fans of the book because of its unusual structure.
Yeah, she didn't write it.
Yeah.
But the guy who wrote it, and I forget his name, you could tell he's a good playwright. He's a good playwright.
Right, Jack Thorne.
Yeah. And, man, he did a really damn fine job. He had a lot of funny moments. It did a really good job combining... you could see the performances, mm-hmm. but also you could see, like, those nice little callbacks that were really funny. You could see the really dramatic moments. I had, you know, some tears welling up there for a minute. Because I just went through... I read all the books, but then I never really saw all the movies. Mm-hmm. I saw the first couple. Okay. And so I spent the week before the book came out watching all seven or eight movies.
Films, yes. Yeah.
And so I went on this emotional roller coaster, and then I was like, oh, okay, now... And the movies were not that good, though, so I'm sad to say. In terms of franchises, yeah. I was like, it is pretty weak.
Yeah.
There wasn't like, oh, wow, this... It's just...
So much to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a huge compliment to J.K. Rowling, yeah. where I'm like, man, they just did not do a good job Justice. Communicating, mm-hmm. you know, the culture of your books.
Yeah.
And The Cursed Child, I thought, did a much better job than the movies do of communicating that culture, because somebody who's not the auteur like J.K. is. And J.K. is, like, she's not going down in the history of, like, the world's greatest writers.
No.
But what she does, yeah. like, man, no disrespect, she is a fantastic children's writer.
And it's sort of what we were speaking off air about what Dr. Thunder would like to be seen as
yeah.
In his life's legacy, without putting him out to dry, but he wants to be seen as a storyteller, wants to be known as just yeah. that. And I think J.K. Rowling fits that as yeah. well.
Like, she's not like Ernest Hemingway no. or Sylvia Plath. Or, you know, all those big
she's
name
not
authors.
A Fitzgerald.
But that, and that's the thing, she's not Zelda either. No. Like, Zelda, you yeah. ever read Zelda Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Damn, man, she was good. Hey, well, you read her if you read some of F. Scott, because he was like, I'm just going to take yeah. some of your stuff.
I'm just going to. But yeah.
And, you know, I think that's just because she's a kid, like, she comes from that kid's writing background. Mm-hmm. But she's probably the best children's writer of all time. I can't think of anybody who could even stand up to her.
To be able to establish such a canon as yeah. Harry Potter, where no one else could do it justice. Yeah. Nobody else, whether it's writing some fan fiction or making movies, as, you know, they had tried to do, and I think they'll do over again, and in fact they're making more extensions of several stories and stuff, but she's just the only one who just fits the bill on who Harry Potter is, because she knows who Harry Potter is.
Well, you know, a lot of people say, too, that if Harry Potter's your favorite character, you're a dumbass.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, man, she weaves that universe.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you who my favorite character is, because I like a lot.
At different times, you just feel... yeah.
But, so, if you're thinking about picking up the book, so... what it is, and I'm spoiler free. Sure. I'm gonna stay spoiler free on here. It's essentially about. It picks up right where the book left off, mm-hmm. where that they have that like 18 years in the future, or whatever,
yes.
where Harry's taking his three kids there, mm-hmm. and so it kind of follows his youngest, Albus Dumbledore or Albus Potter, and he's, you know, worried about getting into Slytherin and. Excuse me. He ends up meeting Draco Malfoy's son on the train, whose name is Scorpius Malfoy,
mm-hmm.
and they end up becoming friends. And yeah, oh man,
wow.
And so it's kind of this story of their friendship
mm-hmm.
and where it takes them. And you know, Draco Malfoy plays a pretty sizable part in there too. And
good to see.
Yeah, he did a damn fine job. Like the character did, you know
yeah.
what I mean? So I was like, man, if there's an actor in there, that actor, me and Dr. Thunder also agreed that whoever's playing Draco Malfoy, that's going to win some awards, because he's got some powerhouse
scenes. He's a dynamic character.
Yeah, very
yeah.
much so. Mm-hmm. Hermione's scenes were a little boring. Mm-hmm. Harry's scenes didn't really strike me. The kids really had some great scenes going. And if you're reading this for the universe, even though it's a short read, they pack a lot of the universe in there. Wow. They have a call. Almost every character is represented. The only characters not really in it are, I think, Luna Lovegood, who's like a lot of people love her. I'm a huge fan of hers. She's not in the book. And a few other characters who you're like, oh, that character should have been in there. They weren't in there. Like, I think Lupin and Tonks' kid, they had a kid in there. See, like, they don't spend Teddy Lupin, I think. Not really in the book. But outside of that, you know, like, damn near every character's in there, man. Wow. And it's a hell of a read. And I know, you know, we don't normally talk about books and stuff on this podcast.
No, but
I just wanted to reach out.
Especially for our generation.
Oh, yeah, man.
We came up to Harry Potter. We're at that age. Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know, I think it's a daunting, not even a daunting task, but it's a burden to sort of birth a universe like Harry Potter, where I don't feel like J.K. Rowling will ever escape, you know, this.
No, she's going to die in that universe.
She's tried. She's written a couple books in adult fiction, and it hasn't necessarily worked out, including one under an alias. And
that's smart.
Yeah, it was smart.
I'm a Jane Fryer.
Yeah.
Like, what? I'm putting out another book. And they're like, I think that's J.K. Rowling's book.
And that was the bummer about it, was because I remember how that came to be, is that someone just analyzed the writing of this specific quote-unquote guy who just put out a book, and they were like, I've been analyzing this manuscript, and this looks a lot like J.K. Rowling's writing. And so sure enough, they just aired out the laundry and said, hey, this book is not this dude. It's J.K. And then they came out. She's like, you got me. It's me. You know, this is my book. And I was bummed out. I was bummed out because...
Not the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. You're talking about another book.
It was another book. But I was sort of bummed out for her because... Although I can't relate because I don't have a notable, you know, franchise out there that millions and millions of people love. But I sort of see that, you know, as a writer, you know, you have these characters that maybe you're just doing for closure, that you just get to release them out there and be done with it. But it's almost like you'll never be done with it if people attach themselves to it. And then when you try to move on, they don't let you. So...
If I had to assign this a grade, Los,
yeah,
I would assign Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Think of it as the 3-point shooting contest. Sure. 4 racks of balls out of 5. Hit 4 of those color balls. 4.
Wow. So it didn't get the money ball.
No. 4 racks. Well, I mean, you're winning 3-point shootout. Yeah. You hit 4 racks out of 5.
Yeah, you don't even need to hit the money balls.
4 racks out of 5.
That's not bad.
It's pretty good.
Do you think she should keep going?
I think she has to. I think... It's because she, look, man, she's rich as hell. Yeah. Like, she's come a long way. She could do whatever she wants. Yeah. Doesn't matter. She's not like that George R. R. Martin dude. Like, she told her story, and I will give her this, man. She beat the hell out of that old man in terms of, because she's been so long. Dr. Thunder and I were talking about this. We're like, man, how did she turn out 7 books so fast?
Yeah.
And this dude's over here like, I'm still working on the next one. And I'm like, dude, you're like 80 years old.
He's been doing this since the 90s.
And And the thing is, we're talking, you're like, yeah, but she was planning this stuff for years before she started writing. And, you know, she's probably younger, and she goes at a good pace. Meanwhile, this old man's pissing everybody off because we're like, when's the next book? You know what I never said with J.K. Rowling? When's that next book coming out? Because she'd be like, next book's going to be like in 2 years. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then she met her deadlines.
2 years. Yeah.
And, man, I'm going to kill this old man, Los. If this old man doesn't get me, was it The Winds of Winter?
Yes. I think
that's the next one. Show's already passed. We're talking about a Game of Thrones, by the way. I'm going to find that old man.
I'm
going to grab his suspenders and pull him out of his chair and go, where am I going to next book?
As you know, I don't watch Game of Thrones, and I tried. And my goal is...
You watched some.
Yeah, I watched some, and I enjoyed it, but I didn't make it through. But I'm intrigued by the series and plan to finish it by the time the next season starts. It's a lofty goal, but I think I'll be able to.
The summer's already passed, so you're running out of time.
I'm running out of
season. It's going to be like April.
Winter's going to be coming soon, literally. And
the books are really good,
too. Yeah, so... But I've been going through something where a musician who I really like, his name's Frank Ocean.
Get out of my dreams and into my car? That Frank Ocean?
No.
Is that Frank Ocean?
That's not Frank Ocean.
Get out of my dreams.
No, this is a
bullshit.
He's a,
right?
a contemporary artist.
No, there's an older Frank Ocean.
Do you think it was Billy Ocean?
Oh, Billy Ocean.
Caribbean Queen.
A Caribbean Queen.
Yeah, but there's Frank Ocean who dropped this critically critically acclaimed album back in 2012 and basically just fell off the map and had promised that he was going to release a follow-up by July of last year. July of last year came and went. We didn't hear anything about it, not even in August, September, October, November, and so on. And then he randomly shows up at like some Kanye West listening session, and then they're like, oh, well, there's Frank Ocean. And then he's self-aware about this because a few months later, he posts something to Tumblr listing in graphic form like a library punch card, you know, like overdue books, and crossing off all these dates that he had missed. And on the bottom of it had the title of his would-be album. And people were excited, as was I. And we were like, oh, man, that means it's coming soon. So July of this year came, and we were like, okay, Frank Ocean, are you gonna do it? It's coming, you know? He's gonna do it a year later. July came and went. No. Zilch. Nada. Now, July ended, and right at that moment, a video live... What appears to be a live stream on his website pops up. And it's just this empty room with, like, these speakers, and it's, like, this wood choppy just setup. And we're like, what's happening? I was on Twitter and I was looking at that in the middle of the night, and I spent 2 hours staring into that live stream in which nothing happened. Now, I wake up the next morning thinking that the new album had dropped, and it didn't. But the New York Times, the biggest paper in the land, says Frank Ocean's dropping his album this Friday. That Friday would have been August 5th. So they're detailing out the whole rollout. Apple Music, it's going to be there for such and such time. It's finally coming out. He's also going to release a magazine that's going to be exclusive to Apple stores and this and that. So August 5th is coming. And usually albums drop around midnight Eastern, which means 9 p.m. L.A. time. And so 9 p.m. comes. I happen to be...
You got your alarm set.
I'm lighting candles over here. I have my best...
You're drawing a bath? Oh,
yeah. I have my best headphones ready. And, you know, I'm just set. I had eaten and everything. I was ready to go. My girlfriend
You've
was like...
You've eaten?
I needed to be on a full stomach. I needed no distractions whatsoever. My girlfriend...
You don't want to be halfway through and you're like, damn, I gotta stop. I'm hungry.
My girlfriend's fawning for attention. She thinks we have plans. And I'm like,
you better not insult Jill.
I'm like, babe, 2 hours, just give me this. I gotta listen to the album. It's coming out. 9 p.m. comes, nothing. Okay, so now we're like, okay, it's gonna be midnight L.A. time. Because he lives in L.A.
Not even 9:05. Like,
not even 9:05. So, midnight, nothing.
You're still up at this point.
I'm waiting.
Your girlfriend's about to kill you.
Yeah. So I'm waiting again, 2, 3 in the morning, nothing. I wake up. Nothing. Oh, man. Lunchtime.
It's like there's no Christmas.
Nothing.
You're like, where's the tree? The tree will be up soon. Yeah. Where's the presents?
No man. Presents. 7 p.m.
I've had that Christmas.
Nothing. I get home. 11 p.m. Still nothing. 11:59, which means we're just right at the end of the promised date of August 5th. Nothing. 11:59, 59 seconds, turns into 12 a.m. Now it's Saturday, August 6th. The whole weekend goes by. We don't hear anything. No news reports. The New York Times was wrong about this album. So now articles come out analyzing Frank Ocean's psyche. What's he thinking? What's he doing to us? What's the reason behind all of this? Did the audience do anything to him? Does he owe us anything? And someone draws...
You do when you tell us that you're going to release something.
Someone draws the parallel between Frank Ocean and what George R.R. Martin has been doing to the Game of Thrones fandom for the past few years. And the sentiments are similar in that you know, it's filled with a lot of anger and frustration and anticipation that, you know, this work that had been promised and, you know, and waited for all these years has yet to arrive with little to no explanation.
Meanwhile.
So can you relate to this?
Is it still not out?
Still not out. We don't know when. On that library card graphic, someone made out that, pointed out rather, that November 13th of 2016 is still on that. So now they're pinning that as the would-be release date.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? But
we'll see.
November 13th is a Sunday, which
man, that When's the Winter was supposed to come out like years ago. Yeah.
So could you relate to that? Because I'm frustrated as a fan.
Of course.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
You're going to lose people, which now the TV shows eclipsed them. And
they
now
left them behind.
And they told all the spoilers. They're like, yeah, Jon Snow's parentage and this and that and all these bombshells that I'm sure this old man would have liked to have put in a book and had, you know, the fans find out from him.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they're finding out from these two young up-and-coming go-getters who are like, look, man, we got deadlines. HBO's going to cut our nuts off if we don't deliver this season. We can't just wait for you. And so they're going to tell the whole damn story, and this guy's going to still be two books out, because how bad is he going to feel if they go, those guys just finished my story? Like, Game of Thrones, the show is done, and his books aren't called Game of Thrones. They're called A Song of Ice and Fire. Game of Thrones is the name of the first book in the series. Yeah. How bad is this dude going to feel when they finish his story for him? And now some people are worried because he might die. He's an old man. Yeah.
Well, and my question is, do you think his book even matters anymore? Like,
it's getting to that point.
So, HBO has rolled out the map for Game of Thrones, right? So, two more seasons, what, 6 or 7 episodes each?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, the thing is, too, is he's got so much other stuff going on in his books.
Yeah.
And so you read for that. Like, there's this dude called Aegon Targaryen who's real big in the books.
Yeah.
But no one gives a shit about him compared to Daenerys. Anyway, everybody knows who Daenerys Targaryen is.
But then there's a possibility of spinoffs as well, right?
They're talking about that, too. Yeah, they're talking about doing some prequels. They're talking about doing some stuff like that. Because we were just talking about massive universes, like what it takes to build them. And you build thousands of years and... Like, I could teach
He built thousands of years?
Oh, yeah, man. He's got all sorts of bloodlines. Because it's all built in, like, houses.
Yes.
So he's like, oh, this is House Targaryen. Ah. And here's all the reigns of succession and stuff like that. And so there's a million interesting things. And they're just like Harry Potter. Everyone told me I would love the movies, and I think the movies are the bee's knees. Yeah. And, like, they were okay.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed them, but they're nothing compared to the books.
Yeah,
you don't have enough time in a movie. You have an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
These books, like, there's all these awesome things that happen that they don't even get a chance to go over.
Yeah.
And this Frank Ocean character, he's like, I'm like, man, you're screwing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The people you don't want to screw over is your audience.
Yeah.
We can't screw over our audience, Lowe's.
No.
Otherwise, they'll shoot me at an off-the-ropes comedy show.
Which is going to happen. We are foreshadowing.
Lowe's is going to be there. So, Lowe's came to the last one and didn't even tell me. Actually, the last one, I wasn't there. Did you go to that one?
I didn't go to that one.
The one before that one, because I was out of town. I was in Las Vegas. But you could have shot me there. I have a great Vegas story, but I won't tell it on the podcast.
Okay.
Unless you leave a 5-star rating and a comment. And tell me, hey, I'd love to hear that Vegas story.
Leave us 2 5-star ratings, which has to be by someone different.
Yeah, tell a friend.
On iTunes. By the next episode, we will hear Jack Basketball's Vegas story.
Real inappropriate. Real inappropriate.
Does it top poop stories?
Yeah, because here's the thing.
Yes.
It involves Casey Spaghetti.
Oh.
And I don't think Casey Spaghetti would want to have it heard.
Uh-oh.
Real dirty laundry.
So there you go. Your incentive to leave 5-star ratings on iTunes. Okay, so go on.
So with that said, man, I think we're done.
Don't alienate your audience.
Don't alienate your audience.
Treat them with care like J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, I agree. So in retrospect, well, not in retrospect, in summary, I'm stupid.
To surmise what?
I've been drinking too much White Rascal. White Rascal got the better of me. So, man, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child,
mm-hmm.
it's worth the pickup. pick it up, check it out. If you're like, well, I don't like reading plays. Well, first of all, I don't know who says that because what's wrong with you? But if you're not a reader, if you're like, I don't enjoy reading, man, this is a play. This is dialogue. Yeah, it's not.
You see it in your mind.
You should try it out. Yeah. Because if you're someone who's not a fan of just sitting there reading exposition, reading regular books, man, this works out well.
What's wrong with you if you don't like reading? Just, it's not even.
Come on, don't alienate the non-readers.
It's not even an insulting thing. That's not what I mean by that.
Well,
I'm just asking. I'm
first
wondering.
Of all, one of the things is readers who are dyslexic.
Yeah.
They hate reading because it's hard.
It's hard.
That's like, man, it gives you a headache.
Yeah.
So I understand that.
If you're dyslexic, I truly empathize with you. I that's not what I mean.
You just alienate people. No. You hate people. If you don't like to read, what's wrong with you? Yeah, sometimes reading's hard for people, Lowe's.
If reading's hard.
And it's not because people are stupid. It's just because sometimes reading, it's just
I'm not calling
people
stupid. No, I'm not.
People aren't stupid. They're good people.
People aren't stupid. There's hardly any stupid people out there. It's just.
That's not
no,
true.
No, it's true.
Most people are stupid.
No, see?
But
there
not because
you go.
You're readers. Yeah, I can get away with it. You
there
can.
You go.
Because you mean
no,
it.
Because
you're angry about it. And me, here's the thing.
Because what you do is you always accuse me of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
When it's not true.
Here's the thing. Realize this. Yeah. Most people think they're above average, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes me and Dr. Thunder were talking about this, where it's like, my biggest worry is that I'm not above average or that I'm below average or average. And I'm like, no, like, we're in, like, the top 15% because people don't realize how stupid the average person is. Not from a reading standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, if you read, you would get smarter. But how many people are readers?
Yeah.
How many people hang out at Barnes & Noble? Barnes & Noble, you know.
No, I
the only reason people go to Barnes & Noble is because they go to Starbucks. Or the coffee place that's in Barnes & Noble. I can go for some coffee. Let's go to Barnes & Noble.
They
license
Starbucks
books.
Coffee.
You know
they
have books, too.
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck's a book?
No, so what I'm saying, now I phrased it wrong. It's not what's wrong with you if you don't like reading. Why don't you like reading if you don't read? That's what I'm asking. If you're dyslexic, I get it. It's still to this day, even though it's a little more commonplace and we know how to treat it, it's still very misunderstood. But if... Besides that, let's just say you don't have dyslexia.
Well I also think that the reading, you know, the education system has failed a lot of people.
Because
a lot of people like the way that they assign reading and things like that, man, it doesn't make it enjoyable.
It takes it back to having to do it for work.
It's
an assignment.
I wish people would read for passion and not for assignment, because then that's the problem. Yeah. So it's not on them, it's on our education system. No, people don't hate me, Lowe's, because you know why people don't hate me?
Why?
It's because I say the common person is stupid, most people aren't above average, and everyone's like, well, he's not talking about me. I'm above average.
Everyone's the exception.
I'll say 5% of people will be like, yeah, I know I'm not above average.
And that's a smart person right there.
And that is a smart person to say that. Exactly. Isn't that messed up? If you're the 5% who's like, I know I'm not above average, you're actually intelligent because you understand that. And like, you could also counteract that.
Yes.
Because you're like, well, I know that I'm not smart, so I could have other things. How many you ever just think of all the stupid people driving.
Yeah.
Like, everyone thinks they're the best driver.
Most people are bad drivers.
Most people think that they're a good driver, and in fact, most people are bad drivers.
Yeah.
Because you just have that selfishness rein in where you're like, I gotta do something. Fuck you guys, I'm doing this for me. And you end up screwing everybody over, and everyone's like, look at that asshole. Look at that terrible driver.
It's called the actor-observer, whatever. It's called actor-observer. So, if you ever made a wrong turn or a last minute turn to an intersection, you could justify that action because, hey, I needed to get there. Hey, I just forgot, whatever. But to the observer, you're the idiot who just cut them off. Who is this person who should get their license revoked because they're just stupid.
Well,
and you've seen that the same way.
And that's funny too, is because so many people are like, oh, but we can't have self-driving cars because how can I trust a robot? And in my mind, I'm like, I trust a robot way more than I trust you because robots are, even though, they're fallible, man, but they're making better choices and they're making them faster and quicker than you are. You're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should trust robots more than we trust ourselves.
Yeah, actor-observer bias. I was reading about it the other day.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You were reading it.
Hey, look at that.
I'm proud of you, buddy.
No, so yeah. So most people are bad drivers. I don't want to get into that because, as you know, I am a fan of self-driving cars and the
You're
technology.
Also car-free LA.
Yeah. Who needs it? Some people need it.
Ride that bus, son.
Yeah. Metro, bike.
Bus life. Walk. Metro life.
If it's somewhere, if it's less than a mile
run.
Away. Yeah, run. If it's less than a mile away, just walk.
Skip.
Gallop. Grab a bike. Take a train.
You know what I was really good at as a kid? Galloping.
Galloping? Remember Galloping's fun, too.
Oh, man.
Okay, we're just rambling now, but okay. Thanks for listening to Booze and Basketball,
the best of both worlds.
Make sure to check out boozeandbasketball.com
for all your booze and basketball needs.
And be sure to check us out anywhere podcasts are found. You know where to find
us. Anywhere podcasts are found.
And don't forget, we're for the people.
By the people.
Of the people. And like we always like to say,
Mahalo.